Well, we're going to continue with our teachings on the five solas, and we, from last week, are on sola fide, or by faith alone. And the verses that we were using, and get you kind of caught up to where we were, out of Ephesians, it says that we are created in Christ Jesus. We're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So whenever we accept Jesus Christ and we become recreated, we are a new being, we are a new creation, and that we are created to do good works. That's what our purpose is. These good works are not our own. They're not ones that we have to come up with and make our list of things that we're going to do for God. God has had those prepared in advance for us for eternity. And so those are God's works that he has prepared for us to do. Therefore, what we were talking about was, is it by faith alone that we are saved, or is it a combination of faith and works? Because the argument with the Protestants during the Reformation was that with the Holy Roman Catholic Church and the Council of Trent, they said, if anyone says that the sinner is justified by faith alone, meaning that nothing else is required to cooperate in order to obtain the grace of justification, and that it is not in any way necessary that he be prepared and disposed by the action of his own will, let him be anathema or excommunicated. So the argument was, it either has to be by faith alone, absolutely nothing that we do, or by the Holy Roman Catholic Church. No, salvation is by faith and works. And so that was the big disagreement. So from last week, what I was talking about, we talked about the thief on the cross. He had no works to present. As a 12-year-old when I came to salvation, I had nothing to present to God that, hey, I have done this. Doesn't that count toward my salvation? So we don't bring anything to the foot of the cross that points to, okay, I cooperated in this effort for salvation. Either Christ's work on the cross is sufficient and complete for all men, for all sin, for all time, or it's not. And then as Paul says, and if it's by works at all, then you don't have grace. Either grace is God's grace and it stands alone, or it is all by works and there is no grace involved. And so it has to be by faith alone. In Thessalonians, and we're going to get into this, in Thessalonians it talks about faith producing works, love that prompts labor, and hope that inspires endurance. So I was using those examples as our faith, our love, everything that God has given us through Jesus Christ, that is a springboard for these works that God has planned for us in advance to do. So the question is, well then if I don't do the works after I'm saved, do I still stay saved? And the question that we were getting at last week, I said, I'm married and I do things for my wife who needs help. Now, if I don't do those things, am I going to get a call from my pastor or the Potter County clerk and say, hey, we're going to revoke your marriage license because you're not doing what you were supposed to be doing? No, that's not the way it works. But my point was, what does that do to my relationship? What does that do within my heart toward my wife? And so in the same manner, I believe that that's exactly what we are doing with our salvation in Jesus Christ. If I am willfully saying I don't want to do those works that God has prepared in advance for me to do, you know, starting out a relationship in disobedience and rebellion is not going to be good. So what damage does that do to God? Well, no, he sees you as saved. He has given you that gift. So it's not like he's sitting there going, look, you've messed up too many times. You're not playing the game like it was lined out for you. Therefore, I'm going to take your salvation back. That's not it at all. But you have to ask, what is it happening inside of myself when I am disobeying God, whenever I am not carrying out those works? What does that do to my relationship with Him? Yes, ma'am? And so what she's saying, not only is it damaging our lives within ourselves and our relationship with God, it's also damaging how the world sees us. If we're a Christian, shouldn't we look like that? Shouldn't we look like something like Christ? Yeah, exactly, we should. And so if we are not doing those things, again, this is not a matter of God standing up there and saying, look, you know, you better do this or else I'm taking the salvation back. So faith and works does not work like that. So let's go on to James. James 2, and this is where we were last week. James 2:14. What good is it, my brother, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? You haven't acted on your faith. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So when Paul's telling the Thessalonians that faith produces works, our love prompts labors, and that our hope inspires endurance, then those should be the natural outcomes of our faith in Jesus Christ. When we realize what Jesus has done on the cross for us, a gift of eternal salvation, it should prompt gratitude. It should prompt a willingness, a desire to work for Him, to do these works that God has prepared. But if it doesn't, then you have to question where that faith is in Christ. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. That's a whole different lesson. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together. And that his faith was made complete by what he did. See, it's our works that fulfills our faith. It's our work that justifies our faith. It completes our faith. And the scripture is fulfilled. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. So again, the question comes up, what is my faith if there are no works that follow my faith? What is it? What kind of faith is that? From your personal experience, come on, wake up. Too much turkey. What happens to you if you're saying, I'm a Christian, but I never show anything to prove it?
Your battery just hasn't been activated.
The battery hasn't been activated. That's good. You need to get your Duracell charged.
Yeah.
What's happening in your own life? Yes?
It says that, you know, you will know them by the fruits.
Uh-huh.
Someone that's not a believer,
okay,
says some of these things, they're going to say, well, they can't be a Christian.
So they haven't shown me anything that's different from the world. So what she's saying, Jesus says, you shall know them by their fruit. Well, so what is that fruit? Should that show up? Should that show? What happens to you personally? I mean, if you want to use this in your marriage or whatever, a close relationship, what happens when you don't give anything back to your loved one?
Apathy
starts. That's great, apathy. You know, things start falling apart bit by bit. The relationship is damaged. Why wouldn't that be the same with Jesus Christ? If he sends you his Holy Spirit to dwell in you and you ignore him, what kind of a relationship is that?
You feel guilty.
Yeah. The guilt rises, the apathy, you know, all of it. That's not a healthy relationship. Now, what we said last week in Hebrews 11, the faith verses and all of the biblical characters, in every single case it said, by faith, they did something. They had the faith first, but they all acted on it. They all acted. In every single case in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, so-and-so did so-and-so. That's what our faith should look like also. But now then, let me ask you, is it those works that maintains your salvation? See, it can't be that either. It can't be that, okay, now I've got to do these works just to make sure that I'm saved. Although I'm about to read you another verse that's going to kind of make you think, well, now wait a minute. You just said that, we'll get to that in a second. But it still cannot be by our works, or what we're saying is that Christ's sacrifice was not sufficient to endure even for my lifespan. What we're saying is that, okay, Christ did his work on the cross. I'm saved. Now I've got to take it from here. Right. As if. I mean, we are so pitiful to think that anything that we could bring to God's throne could be a value for our eternal life. I mean, that's just so arrogant. Say, well, if I just do enough and these are good things that I'm doing, shouldn't that count for something? That's what Jesus said. You're unworthy servants. You've only done your duty. That's exactly what you're supposed to do in your Christian walk. There's no special efforts.
So just what your motivation is.
That's where the heart comes in. That's where what we're doing it for. What's the reason behind it? And each of these people stepped out in faith, Hebrews 11, by doing the acting on their faith. And it should be a desire in us to do God's works. It should be that desire there and a delight to carry those things out. Not only a discipline, oh, okay, now I'm saved, now I've got to do this. Hopefully we grow and it becomes a delight to serve God in all these areas that he puts in front of us. But it's never to say, okay, you better do this, or I'm just waiting to take salvation back. That's never it. Doing these good works that he's gotten prepared, but it's all still just our duty. This is what we were made Christians for. But it's our works that justify our faith. It makes it real. It makes it active and alive. These are the things that show us where our faith is in our heart. Now then, without those, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. So does that mean that God is ending our relationship if we don't do those works? No, it is not. It is never from God's eyes you're saved. It's never from his part that he's saying you're not doing enough, you're out of here. Did you have some? That's right.
And our true happiness can only come when we're living.
Good. So if he gave us life more abundant, then our true happiness can only come about when we're doing what he has built us to do. That makes perfect sense. If our happiness is built on anything temporal, you know, we're going to be happy at times, unhappy at some times. It's not going to last. But if we're connected, like she says, to something eternal, then our true happiness depends on him and him alone. And he's built us that way. He's built us that way. Okay. Can you choose not to do those works?
Yes.
Absolutely. And what does that do with our relationship again? It is our choice to damage or build that relationship. Just like a marriage. But with Jesus Christ, it is our choice. He gives us things that are presented to us to do And sometimes we ignore those things. Sometimes we act on those things. Like I was saying to somebody last week, wouldn't it be great if we had a list of those works prepared in advance and we could just go down and check those things? But that's not the way it works. He does present us with things. Sometimes we act on them. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we look back and think, you know what that was, the Holy Spirit. I should have done that. I really should have. I do that far too often, it seems like. But it's our choice. It's our motivation. It's our movement toward that counts. Now then, here's what is the seemingly contradiction. So turn over, keep turning to the right just a few more pages to 2 Peter. Because there's some words in here that you just think, okay, now that just totally contradicts everything that we just talked about. Now, remember, we did a lesson years ago on Peter. And we looked at Peter from the Gospels, and then we looked at his letters. And when you look at Peter in that light, you see, in the Gospels, you see brash, quick-acting, slow-thinking Peter making some pretty big blunders. You see Peter denying Christ. You see Peter being restored by Christ. And so you see kind of a proud Peter that tells Jesus Christ that, oh, I would never turn away from you. I would never leave you. Everybody else may leave you, but I will never leave you. But then he denies Christ. So when you read his letters, all of a sudden you see a broken man that is saying, be careful, folks. We are capable of turning from our Savior. We are capable of doing this. And it's basically Peter saying, I did that myself. I didn't think I could do that, but that's what happened. So you see in some of Peter's letters here some very tender warnings to all believers. Now then, it starts out, says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So our grace and peace becomes abundant as we grow in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. How? Through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So as we grow in the knowledge of God, He says that He has given us everything that we need in life and everything that we need to grow godly lives. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them, so through His promises that He's given us, you can do two things. You may participate in the divine nature. You who have the Holy Spirit in you are now capable of participating in the divine nature of God Himself. Without the Holy Spirit, you don't have a chance. But He says, now then, through His promises, you have the chance to participate in the divine nature. And through doing that, you can, number two, escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Before the Holy Spirit, before Jesus Christ, we didn't stand a chance. We couldn't escape. But now, through His work and through the Holy Spirit, you can participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world. For this very reason, He says, for this very reason, since He has given you these opportunities, make every effort to add to your faith. What? I thought it was faith alone. Right? And here's Peter saying, well then, you need to work hard to add to your faith. Now why would he say that? Let's stop right there. Why do you think, why would Peter say that?
To strengthen your relationship.
To strengthen our relationship. Yeah. Anything else? I mean, think this through. If I'm a Protestant reformer and I'm arguing our salvation is by faith alone, nothing else, then what would he do whenever this verse comes up? Now, wait a minute. We need to work really hard, make every effort to add to our faith? I thought you just said sola fide.
Well, I think what this is what we think work is.
I'm sorry?
I think we can feel what we think work is. We think work is something you go out and do, but work is what you do when you get up in the morning and live the day.
Okay. So the effort is our daily lives instead of a work schedule type.
It's living out our faith.
Okay. All right. So I guess the question is, so if I'm going to add to my faith, that must mean that I can grow my faith? My faith can be different? Back here. Yep.
Okay. Snatch it
away from you. All right. So the parable of the sower, seed on good soil. He says, you know, the seed, you can accept God's word, but if it falls on rocky soil, that there's not going to be any root, and it's going to be snatched away by the winds and the evil one. Great. All right. So that starts to kind of build this picture. Then what does our faith do as we begin to grow it? Yes, ma'am. That's right.
So to me, it's yielding to the Holy Spirit that these things are going to be produced in our lives.
Great.
So that's the only effort that I can see. Of course, we're going to be as obedient to the Holy Spirit as we're yielding to
okay.
Him. But it's fruit that's
good.
Produced.
Again, what she's saying, these things are fruit of the Holy Spirit. Again, if we are in Christ and we are listening to Him, shouldn't we look more like Him every day? Well, that sounds, because at 12 years old, I had a saving faith. I really did. And I became a Christian. Did I look like Christ at 12 years old? Well, if you can ask my mom, probably not. Yeah, go.
I was just going to say, doesn't verse 8 expand on that?
Yeah, we'll get there. Yeah. I just want you to think through these things right up front before we get along here. Yep.
With works, you get to know Christ better because that's part of the gifts that He gives back.
Okay. So these are the...
Faith says we know Christ, and works let us know Christ more because
okay.
The conduit that's created.
So as our faith grows and deepens, we get to know Him more. He gets, you know, He knows us. We look like Him more. These things grow in us. Yes.
That is the way we mature in our faith.
Great. These are items that we mature in our faith. Whenever I come up out of the water, guess what? I didn't look like Jesus Christ. And guess what? The day I die, I'm still not going to look like Him. I hope, looking back over my life, that I've looked more and more like Jesus throughout my spiritual walk. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. $5 for this lady after class. So,
our lives are not just a snapshot.
Right. Good.
We are forever seeking knowledge, looking one way or another. And our minds, what we talked about in church last week, is transforming our minds.
Right.
And by renewing our minds. And here it says to that we gain knowledge of Him
right.
And escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires.
Yep.
And
good.
That's the split right there,
good.
Is that, you know, we're going to continually actively pursue something, whether it's ourselves or whether it's Christ.
Christ, good.
And so our faith delivers us, hopefully, more to be like yep. Him.
So what she says is that we can partake of the divine nature, or we can go ahead and live those corrupt lives. We now, through the Holy Spirit, have the power to escape that corruption. And as I've said before, every moment, every decision that we make in our life makes us look a little more like Christ or a little less like Christ. There's no middle point. There's no maintaining. Seriously, as we grow, as we live, we're either looking a little more like Christ every day or a little less like Him. Now, there's days that we stumble and we look a little less like Christ. But hopefully we can look back over our Christian lives and see growth. And you thought, no, we shouldn't do that. Well, let me just read these verses to you. Let me continue. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Add to your faith what? Goodness, and to goodness, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. Self-control, perseverance. Perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Add to those things. Like she says, these are gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are fruit of the Spirit. These are things that Christ looked like. Shouldn't we want to grow in those things? Because when we're first accepted as eternal life Christians, we've got a long way to go. I've got a long way to go, even after 40, whatever, 50 years, whatever it is. It's not too big. Now then, here's the verse that's pretty phenomenal to me that kind of puts all this together, but it's almost contradictory, but not quite. Because he says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. Now then, it's a great exercise maybe this week. Go back through that list, read those, and look back over your Christian life the last year, 5 years, whatever you want to choose, and say, do I possess those qualities in increasing measure? Am I growing? Christianity is not a stagnant faith. If we have the idea that I'm saved, that's all there is to it, it's done, I'm in. You know, we're missing the point. This is what growing in Christ looks like. So these things need to be increasing. Because what that does, it says, it increases your knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As you grow in your knowledge of Him, this is what you should look like more and more. And it says right here, well, what if I don't do them? Then you're going to be ineffective and unproductive in the kingdom. There you go. And oh, by the way, if you don't have those in increasing measure, you're going to be guilty all the time because you're going to forget that your sins have been cleansed. So what do our churches look like? Are they ineffective, unproductive, and full of guilt? I wonder why. I wonder why. So that tells me that my faith, I may have had a saving faith, but do I have a growing faith? Do I have a sanctifying faith? Something that is active, something that is growing in my knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Am I growing to look like Jesus Christ every single day? Am I growing in these qualities that are adding to my faith, that deepens my faith, that strengthens my faith, that roots my faith? Another example that I give, I was a Christian, and I knew a lot about the Bible before I went to Israel. I got to go to Israel and see these things that are talked about in the Bible. Did that change my faith? Did that make me more saved? No. But I tell you what, it gives it better, firm foundations. It gives me a deeper root because I see God's Word is exactly what it says. You see these things right in front of you, you go, that's exactly what the Scripture is talking about. That didn't change whether I was eternally saved or not, but it gives it more deeper roots. Growing in these things gives us deeper roots. It makes our faith active. It strengthens it as we grow. But it's never meant to say, but I've got to do these things just to be sure I'm still saved.
Submissive to the Holy Spirit, whereby He gives us those nudges, and And guess what? When we get one and it feels pretty hard, then we're going to have to go to the Lord to get His help.
Say, help me. Yeah. So, what she says is, as we're growing in that faith, and we get these nudges from the Holy Spirit, our faith shows us that, hey, I can count on that. No matter how uncomfortable it feels, if I'm being nudged by the Holy Spirit to do that, it's going to be okay. And we grow in that, and become more comfortable working in His will. Without that, we're just kind of shooting scattergun all by ourselves and hope that we're doing the right thing. So there's a big difference there. There's a big difference. But it takes that growth, that comfort with our relationship. Now then, now here's another verse that's just going to, like, oh, really? Now, I don't understand this. And this is Peter. He says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. Huh? What? For if you do these things, you will never fail, never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, didn't that just blow away everything that we just talked about? I've got to do these things to be sure I'm saved?
No, just make sure. Like she said, more aware
okay.
of wanting to do what God's called you to
okay.
do. And the more you keep that relationship going, it also keeps you centered that God's in control, and no matter what happens, no matter what the task is in front of you, He's in control and you can lean on Him.
So as we grow, that deepens that relationship and makes us more certain. Let me ask you something. Is there any question in God's eyes whether your calling and election is sure or not?
No.
He already sees the end of all times. He already knows. So we're not doing this to be sure that God knows, hey, remember, God, I'm saved. Or I'll do this just to be sure you know that, God. We're not making our calling and election sure in God's eyes. He already knows. So then who are we doing this for?
Well,
it's you. It's your own knowledge. What's that?
So we don't have that hangdog feeling.
Good. Yep. No, that's that detachment from God, broken relationship. I kind of understand what she's saying. There are times in our lives we kind of ebb and flow in our spiritual walk. Sometimes we feel like God is right there and we are walking, you know, arm in arm with Him. And then there's days that I just can't seem to find Him. He just doesn't seem close. And most of the time it's because I've kind of wandered. I've kind of forgotten to pray. I've forgotten to read Scripture. I've forgotten that. That's what does a relationship. That's when I feel what she says, that hangdog feeling. I like that. That absence. But this is never, again, from God's eyes. He already knows your calling and election. This is for us. It's important that we know. Yes, ma'am? Yeah.
To be saved forever.
That's right.
But you know, as we develop this relationship with Christ, then we feel.
That's right. And you bring up a great point. And we've talked about this before, our emotional side. If we rely on our emotions, some days I'm going to feel saved, some days I'm not. So you're going to have a roller coaster faith. What he's saying is, you grow in your knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's going to keep you firm. It's the mind that you need to transform, somebody was saying. Val was saying. It's our mind that reminds us of our position that's in Christ. Our emotions may tell us one thing one day and another thing the other day, and we can't rely on that. But it's our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His promises, just like He says. He has given us these promises to guarantee us that in his eyes, you are saved. You are saved. God is not ready to thump you out whenever you don't do these works. We can damage that relationship, I believe with all my heart. We can damage it. So he says, then you do these things to make your calling and election sure. Because if you do these things, you won't fall. You won't fall. If you continue to grow in these qualities, if you continue to maintain that healthy relationship, you're okay. Don't worry about it. But Christianity is not a stagnant faith, just like a good marriage is not stagnant. It takes constant attention. It takes constant growth to maintain it and maintain it healthy. Same with our relationship with Christ. I can ignore it for months on end. And finally, I believe my heart can get so hard that, you know what? A relationship with Jesus Christ just isn't important. That's not him saying, I'm through with you. That's you saying, I really don't want this marriage anymore. So that's why he says, continue to grow in these qualities and you will not fall. It's an amazing thing to look at, but you can understand why the Reformation happened in that these questions came up. And they worked through these and finally came up and said, sola fide. Because once we introduce any of our works to either gain or maintain our salvation, what we have done is cheapen the grace and the gift of God by saying, I'm going to add to what Christ did on the cross. And you cannot do that. But that's where the breakup occurred. So it has to be sola fide, faith alone. But then Peter says, but keep increasing and looking like Christ. That's our duty. That's our wonderful privilege of knowing a relationship with him is looking more like him. And Peter says, keep it up. Yes, sir. Right, good.
That person inside of us, that spirit inside of us.
Good.
And that's what is so connecting with those around us, because they see that weakness, but they don't perceive it as weakness. They perceive it as the spirit.
That's right. And a great example, because what he's saying is those urgings that we feel, that a lot of times we feel inadequate to carry out what I'm being pressed to do. Well, guess what? That's right where God wants us, really. Because what he's saying is, other people see us. What they're doing is seeing that, well, he couldn't do that by himself, so it had to be God God acting in there. And so we become that example. So, that's great. So anything else? Next week we look at sola Christus, Christ alone. Our salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. So, let's have a word of prayer. God, we do thank you so much for everything that your Son has done for us. His entire existence was built around my salvation. That's hard to comprehend. I will never fully comprehend it, that he chose to die for me. And so his entire life was given as if I was the only one in existence, and he still chose to do that for me. God, we thank you that our faith in him and what he has done on the cross, that is complete. It is done, and it is only by your gift and your grace and your glory that occurs. Nothing on my own. We thank you for this class, their willingness to reach out and touch other people's lives and grow in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here.